Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey and iHeartRadio app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball today from 9 until 10:30. Big football game ahead, like we do every Saturday. Today, wondering whether the Cubs are prepared for September and if the White Sox are ready for the offseason. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
I'm a little nervous, like Craig Counsell was yesterday.
Ooh, we need to get into that.
Yeah. Craig Counsell is showing some stress from a pennant race and trying to make sure that the Cubs stay in the race as well as for number one spot. They're almost guaranteed a wild card at this point. So
over a 95% chance, depending on whatever metric you look at. All the statistics, all the metrics show you that the Cubs can prepare and get ready for the postseason.
So, yes. David, the show question today, 312-644-6767. Would you rather have the Cubs playing the Dodgers or the Padres? Because that is where it stands right now. If baseball ended today, the Cubs would be playing three home games, being the top wild card against the San Diego Padres.
That's an interesting question. I think we have a month to debate that. My first reaction would be Padres. Stay away from the Dodgers until you have to play the Dodgers.
Do they really scare you that much now?
I think their postseason pedigree scares you. The fact that they are always there every October. They're as regular as the Fox booth. You know you're getting Joe Davis and John Smoltz and the Dodgers somewhere along the line. So I think, yes, they do. Now, scare is probably overstating it, but the Padres had an injury this week to Bogaerts that is going to affect how healthy they are going into October.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because of the fact that the Cubs have such a big lead. Now, Cincinnati has played themselves basically out of it. They can get hot here. They can make it tough to get into the wild card, but they are so far behind the Cubs right now. Almost, I think it's 9 games with about 26, 27 left.
Mm-hmm.
4 head-to-head. That's something to pay attention to down toward the end of the year. But they're one game over 500, David.
I know. That's something to keep in mind. Here's another show question for you, Bruce. Maybe this would be something that is in relation to this week as well, because the Cubs, 11-7 winners last night against the Rockies in Denver, which got Craig Counsell a little jittery. Post-game, we'll hear from him in a second. But, Bruce, after the Cubs went to Anaheim, swept the Angels, after they went to San Francisco and got swept by the Giants, they looked like a team last night that, when they hit the ball out of the ballpark, they win like a lot of teams in baseball. But in some ways, does their inconsistency, their streakiness, make you feel like a lot of the things that have happened that concern you are maybe of less concern if they go into the postseason hot? Couldn't they be streaky and on a hot streak to make everything else that's happened before October 1st or September 30th or whenever the playoffs begin, couldn't they make that moot by just going in on a hot streak?
Are you selling me some land in Florida?
Yes, I'm trying to.
Okay. I would say yes, absolutely. Because this team has the same components it had earlier in the year when they got a big lead and they were, everybody was admiring the Cubs for getting, remember, the first 2 months of the season, admiring the Cubs for getting through this horrendous schedule of playing monster teams all over the West, the best teams in baseball, staying afloat, and then actually taking a step up and taking control of the Central Division of the National League. So from all of that, the perspective was the Cubs, have had their toughest challenge, and now they're on their way. Then all of a sudden, from July into August, the Milwaukee Brewers storm hit,
mm-hmm.
and they went from 6.5 games ahead to 6.5 games behind. And it kind of took the luster off the season. But more directly, to answer your question in a less Chet Kopech type way, yes, they can. They certainly can be the hottest team going into the playoffs.
Hey, it's your dime, your dance floor. You can answer however you wish. 312-644-6767. What do you see when you see the Cubs? Do you see the team that is inconsistent enough to get swept by the Giants, or do you see the team that's capable of beating anybody and can hit four home runs in the thin air of Colorado last night, as they did in beating the Rockies 11-7? I worry about the starting pitching and the bullpen. We'll talk about that in a second, Bruce. But the offense, I don't know if there is going to be anything that happens throughout September that's going to make you feel like, unless they change their profile considerably. The Kyle Tucker reemergence this week has been positive, but how lasting will it be?
You know, that we put so much concentration on Tucker, on Suzuki, on PCA, who's had just the most modest record as an offensive player since the All-Star break. My two guys did something really good in last night's game that I really paid attention to, and that is Ian Happ and Dansby Swanson. Ian Happ takes a ball out of the ballpark to left field. Swanson takes a ball out of the ballpark to right center field. So I don't care that they hit home runs against the Rockies and their horrendous pitching in that, you know, joke of a ballpark. What I cared about is their approach. And I need to see approach from those guys who I consider two really important facets of their offense that can really get this team going. You remember, David, the success of the Chicago Cubs offense was when PCA was batting seventh and the catchers were batting eighth, and the bottom of that order was really pushing that team forward when other players were slumping. Now, you have that possibility with some of these guys hitting further down in the lineup to make these things happen, not have Craig Counsell scratching his head and staying up at night wondering what his lineup should be the next day, but have a full contingent of guys playing baseball, hitting the baseball the right way.
Carson Kelly needs to recapture some of that early season magic. Yeah,
with
I know.
With all due respect.
Tell Craig Counsell that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
he keeps batting him fourth or fifth or wherever.
Pudge Rodriguez is not on this team. He has had a really great year for who he is, right? I mean, mm-hmm. and defensively he's done a fantastic job leadership-wise with those players. You know, Reese McGuire, fantastic stepping in there. A really underrated part of their success as a backup catcher. But they were not going to carry you into the playoffs. That is just not the way it goes. So these guys, like Swanson, like Happ, Horner, the best hitter in the National League, I believe, maybe in baseball, with men in scoring position. I mean, this is a baseball player that you should pay more attention to.
We are going to talk to third base coach Quentin Berry at 10 o'clock. Before that, Chin Music at 9:30, a nice exchange between Bruce and Yankees manager Aaron Boone. 9:50, we'll do the Stay or Go segment on Luis Robert Jr. and some things he had to say when he spoke on Friday about his status and uncertain future with the White Sox. Bruce, though, I want to bring it back to last night in Colorado, because you mentioned some of the people in Cubs who are starting to need to come through, and Ian Happ and Dansby Swanson had great nights in against the Rockies. Say Suzuki also two hits, which was a nice thing to see. But the Cubs took a lead, and they were comfortably out in front. And then Craig Counsell, as you alluded to, had to sit on the edge of his seat because Kittredge and Keller and Pomerantz and Ben Brown, they were the bullpen arms that followed Cade Horton. Cade Horton, five innings, two runs, gave up a home run, but he has now only given up four runs in his last 10 outings.
Rookie of the year?
I think he's got a...
Collins, him and Collins.
I think he's got a good chance of winning the rookie of the year. He's got to have a big month. I think he's got to have a big month. He has a 1.34 ERA in his last 10 starts. That's amazing.
Four runs earned in eight starts.
That's it was last
two,
eight starts.
Half of
yes.
them came last night.
In a swing of the bat in the thin air of Colorado. Yeah, that you can't help right. in that, as you said, that ballpark. So I think he's got a chance. I think you wonder, as we talked about last week, where he is in your power rankings of Cubs starters. After this week, I think he's at the top.
Right now, you can make an argument that he's their best pitcher. Right?
He is their best starting pitcher.
Except for the innings load, which they're limiting to 70 to 80 pitches, whether it comes in three innings or seven, it's been 70 to 80 pitches. You know, will you be able to step on the gas as you get late into September and you need more innings and you need, you know, to look and say, is he our game one starter? Is he our game two starter? Or is he our game three starter?
Well, the game two or three options, if you put Cade Horton at number one, Matthew Boyd and Shota Imanaga, did not have great weeks. I think Imanaga was maybe better than Boyd. Boyd, I think his standard has been set so high that maybe when he has an outing like he did against the Giants, it stands out. And then Colin Ray struggled mightily while they were celebrating and toasting him back in Cascade, Iowa, enjoying their cheese sticks and beer. He was really not pitching well in San Francisco.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying.
You're not going into the McCovey's Cove.
No, we're not doing that. No, we will leave that one alone today, Bruce. But where is your confidence level in the starting pitching as September arrives on Monday?
It's a great question. I don't have a complete answer for you because of the fact that they're limiting 70 to 80 pitches for for your young starting ace. Can you be an ace, you know, if you're limited to five innings or 75 pitches, right? Can you be the ace of the staff? Can they flip the switch and say, okay, Mr. Horton, now we're going to let you go 100 pitches, and it's, you know, two starts, one start before the playoffs. We want to stretch you out again. Is that a possibility in your mind?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because again, the guy is a strike throwing machine, right?
He threw 21 straight strikes this week.
Right. I mean, yeah, unbelievable. People are scratching their heads saying, don't remember this ever happening.
There right? are robot umps, and then there's Cade Horton, the robot pitcher. He just programs a strike and he throws it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The fact that they were sitting there in the dugout watching this happen, and they did not want to jinx it because they had never – you had pitchers who had been – I think it was Brazier who was quoted saying he's never seen anything like this before. And right. this is the kind of control and command that he has had the second half of the season. It's been fun to watch.
But would you be nervous to have a rookie pitcher – leading you into the playoffs as your ace?
I'd be excited about that because I think we all love possibility and potential. And it'd be like if you could find in the other sports kind of comps, if you had a rookie quarterback leading your team in the playoffs, you'd be concerned about the lack of experience, but you'd be excited about the possibility because the unknown could be greatness.
Right. And you're right, David. The thing that excites me about Horton, where you don't have it with the other two guys who have been really great all year. I mean, Boyd should be in contention for the Cy Young Award, okay? Mm-hmm. Imanaga, he's been a great pitcher for the Cubs ever since they got him 2 years ago. It's win days when Imanaga goes out there. But the one element that Horton has that you're going to need in the playoffs is he can shut down that other team for five innings by striking people out, right?
Right.
And the other two guys are not strikeout pitchers.
He's got that power arm that you know right. the Cubs
so
lack.
So you can have those five innings to go and score your runs, okay? And let that very formidable bullpen step in afterwards. Well, it's a little shaky.
Well,
now,
let's talk about that because I think that's what we heard from Craig Counsell post game last night. Is you detected some shakiness maybe in the Craig Counsell voice because usually you're getting Craig Counsell level headed, monotone, all of these things. But last night, after hanging on to beat the Rockies 11-7, this is how Craig Counsell sounded.
Well, we got a huge night from Dansby. with some home runs and a huge triple with the bases loaded. You know, that big hit with the bases loaded that kind of breaks a game open. We did a really nice job offensively. And, you know, I think, you know, we talked about it. This is how games at Coors Field work. You just got to get 27 outs. You got to put the puzzle together and get it. And it's not easy, no matter what's going on. No matter what the score is, it's hard to get 27 outs. But we did a nice job getting it and kind of came out with a win.
What'd you think of that?
Well, Sean left one of the 27 outs out. There was another 27 out. Really good job up to that point.
Thanks, Bruce.
But he said 27 outs three times, like in three sentences. So to me, it showed that Coors Field really changes the whole idea about being able to manage a bullpen, a game, in a way that a manager feels he has control. In that game yesterday, he didn't feel like he had control of that game. Had to come in, as you mentioned, with their main relief pitchers in a game that at one point they were ahead, like, what, 8-3?
Yes.
Right? I mean,
you should not have needed your A team, your
against the worst team in baseball.
Your high leverage arms.
The worst offense in baseball happens to play in the best offensive park in baseball, which is so contrary. They're at the bottom of scoring runs in baseball for the first time in their history, you know, Coors Field, right? So, again, is it accentuated because it's the Cubs we're talking about right now? We expect them to win, but you should be kicking their butt three times in a row.
Here's one reason why I think that if you detected shakiness in his voice or if you saw him a little bit tentative in his confidence level with this bullpen, one of the reasons I think is why, and I asked Ron Coomer about this Friday in the Molly and Haw show, and I know we've talked about it, Bruce. My confidence in Daniel Palencia has been shaken a little bit the last 2 weeks. Of the last 27 batters he has faced, 12 of them have reached base. We've seen him struggle in a couple of ninth innings, and that is uncharacteristic of the season he has had. But we also, as you alluded to, the concerns over Cade Horton and not knowing what to expect in high-leverage October situations. This is the first go-around for Daniel Palencia as well. September arrives on Monday, and the intensity picks up, and all the things will be magnified. And I do wonder if he's up for this challenge. He's been terrific so far. I don't want to disrespect what he has done, but the last 2 weeks, I think 2 weeks ago Friday, was when he struggled at Wrigley Field against the Pirates. And since that point, I think he's been as shaky as he has been good.
I'd like to flip it right now.
Okay.
I would rather have Keller closing. Okay. More reliable, so dominant. Look at his numbers.
His numbers have been, you're right. I think that's a really good observation.
And the veteran status, okay. So I'm okay with Palencia dominating the eighth and Keller coming in the ninth. Again, we do a lot of managing here on Inside the Clubhouse.
That's why we're here.
But the practicality of that is give Palencia the break now. It's September, okay? Continue to build him up. Let him be dominant striking out the side in the eighth inning. Let him catch a breath and let Keller close it out, okay? I think they have time to experiment with that right now. I think that's the way to go. You know, most baseball people say, we're not going to, why change it now? We don't have to do it. The reality is September baseball, playoff baseball, totally different, okay? Totally different animal.
And Keller has the experience, at least in being a veteran, that these kind of high leverage situations, and maybe it's temporary, and Craig Counsell will not get wedded to any one idea. I think we know that. He'll ride the hot hand, but I do think that this might be a good opportunity for him to kind of shake things up a little bit, or at least just adjust and tweak. He did it when Palencia had the illness, when one day he went to Keller, the next day he went to Kittredge in the ninth inning, and that was after the shakiness. So I think that he might be open to that.
Keller's been the MVP of that team, okay, flat out. I mean, you can make, you got your PCA, you have, you have Boyd. They've been phenomenal, great at what they do, terrific. But the consistency of Keller and the way they brought him along this year from obscurity has been the big story for the Chicago Cubs.
I want to ask you a question about Owen Casey in a second, but I want to remind people tonight the Cubs take on the Rockies again in Denver. Pregame coverage begins at 6:35, first pitch at 7:10, right here on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Right-hander on the mound for the Rockies, McCabe Brown against Javier Assad. Bruce, if you're Craig Counsell, and I know we do this a lot, but is this an opportunity to get Owen Casey some at-bats? Because it just doesn't seem to matter to the manager to get this young hitter as at-bats as much as it does maybe to the fan base and media.
I would say after two hits yesterday that Suzuki's in there. Okay.
Keep him hot. Ride the hot hand.
Let him try to – if you're ever going to find your power stroke again, and God knows, I think he has two home runs in the last – I don't know, since July something or other, two home runs and seven RBIs. This is the place to find it. So I don't think he wants to miss, him to miss the opportunity of continuing to feel good for himself after getting a couple base hits last night to drive a few balls out of the ballpark.
312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phone lines. Paul is in Valpo. Paul, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Yeah, you guys just got done talking about Cade Horton. Now, let's be honest. If Cade Horton, or I'm saying, if there's not injuries, Cade Horton's not in the major leagues. Same thing with Owen Casey. Like, I just don't understand the point of him rotting on the bench. You know, put him back down in AAA. I think it's hurting his confidence more to have him come in and pinch hit against the closer when they're losing than to just go get regular at-bats. And Matt Shaw, he's done everything they've asked. He's changed his swing. He's probably the best defensive third baseman in baseball this year. Is he not mentally tough enough to move up in the lineup and continue to develop? Or does Craig still think it was only a good two-week stretch? Craig Counsell is 16 and a half games behind the Brewers since he's been the Cubs manager. He's got to make some different moves instead of just sticking with the same old stuff. Bruce Suzuki got two hits. Great. Let's see what happens when he comes back and actually has to hit it Wrigley.
Paul, thanks for the phone call. His frustration, Bruce, I think is felt by a lot of Cub fans who believe that sometimes Craig Counsell is way too wedded to the backs of the baseball cards of the players in his clubhouse.
I'm not arguing with Paul. I'm just telling you the likelihood of how Counsell will handle it. Okay. You know, he doesn't look at Owen Casey as an answer for September and the Chicago Cubs, right? He looks at him as a young player that he can get in and out sometimes, but he's got to go with his regular players, and they're going to get all the at-bats. And I think the only thing I like about using Casey is against certain right-handers like tonight. And the idea, give those guys a day off whether they want them or not. I think they have a really nice lead in the wild card. Take advantage of it. Feel like a winner in that situation, and make sure your players are at their optimum point of physical and mental readiness every day.
White Sox were 10-2 losers to the Yankees last night. Carlos Rodon got his 15th victory in his first appearance as a visitor at Wrigley Field. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk Sox for a moment before we break. Mike is in Glencoe. Mike, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Good morning, fellows. And the question I have on the Sox, and it's interesting that you're talking about Brad Keller, former Sox pitcher, is whether or not the Sox have oversold the quality of their pitching, especially the young kids coming up. Grant Taylor is really failing miserably. And Bruce and David, I just wonder,
are they? Mike, is he failing or are they failing him?
Well, that's an open question. We have all these brilliant pitching coaches. I don't know that answer, but I also know, did we miss on Hagen Smith? Is Noah Schultz continuing to struggle? Where is the problem? Because the pitching is not producing.
It's a good question, Mike.
Well, you can take it further with both Cannon and Burke being in the minor leagues. I don't look at the White Sox situation as punishment or failure for White Sox pitchers at this level. I look at it as continued player development and getting them right, and also getting them a little bit of Colin Montgomery rest, mm-hmm. right? Take the pressure off. Go back to the basics. Again, what are the White Sox winning? Not losing 100 games? Who cares if it's 99 or 103? Is that does that really mean anything? I don't think so. I really don't.
The Yankees are in town. Aaron Boone had a good exchange with the media, including our own Bruce Levine, the other night. You don't want to miss that. Next is Chin Music right here in Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
High and inside, Chin Music, a little Chin Music. Take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some Chin Music.
Hey, Yomp, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, David and Bruce come in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
You were a really outstanding broadcaster.
Thank you.
Yeah, enjoyed working with you when we did. And there's days where I'll see after the post games where you look like you hadn't slept for 3 or 4 days.
Well, screw you, man.
Thank you.
Just kidding.
Can't take it back. You can't. But the idea, what motivates you? You're the first manager to take them to a World Series in 15 years, yet it seems like it doesn't count. What keeps motivating you to want to manage?
This group, the chance to get back there and try and win the thing. Really simple as that. The people you get to do it with, the ultimate competition, and a chance to want to hoist that trophy. I mean, that's what we're all chasing. Man, I thought I looked better in those press conferences, though. I'm sleeping fine.
Right now you are.
Huh? Right, yeah, I sleep fine. Melatonin. Melatonin.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce, that was a lot of fun with Aaron Boone the other day.
Yeah, and Aaron and I've known Aaron since he was 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wrigley Field with him and his brother, coming in with his dad playing for the Phillies in 1981. I think he was 8 or 9.
Brett Boone, now the hitting coach for the Texas Rangers and former podcaster.
Right. So I always tease Aaron saying he's the fourth best Boone in his family.
You can get away with that because you have a rapport with him. But do you feel like the New York media in town or the ones that maybe at the home media for the Yankees, do they spar with him on a regular basis? Does it they beat him down a little bit?
I don't think, I think sparring is probably not the way that they handle it. To me, it's always, I'm trying to think like a fan and a reporter at the same time, come up with creative ways of getting the best out of them. I think Council and I have a great rapport that we're able to do that. I can challenge him.
Well, he
can challenge me.
He's
back.
A needler too, right?
Yeah.
That's part of it. His personality.
Right. And so is Aaron. But the reality is that the same questioning every day, the same answers every day, the injury updates every day, can be pretty boring.
Monotonous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These guys are really creative, interesting guys. Will Venable is coming along in that area too. He's had to rope-a-dope it because of the idea that he has a team that's not quite there, right? So he's in protection mode of his players, but Will is another guy, really smart guy, starting to see that personality develop, right?
How different is your approach with Craig Council and Will Venable? Because you are, I think, one of the few people there every home game for both managers, and you understand probably the dynamics of the day-to-day as well as anybody does.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Will as well as I hope to in the future. You know, I think number one thing you have to do is build trust. Once you have trust, you hope that they respect you. And they understand that you come at them with different angles and different questions.
You can kid with Aaron Boone because you've known him since he was 9 years old, and your sense of humor is such that you will poke at Craig Council a little bit because he can take it. How many experiences
but
come to mind?
You have to be able to take it as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. No doubt about it. And I think that's good, and I think that is interesting. It makes it fun to listen to, actually. What experiences come to mind, though, if I ask you, managers who don't have such great sense of humors or didn't get your way of questioning or didn't appreciate being needled a little bit?
They say screw you.
Now he said it friendly, in a friendly manner.
If you can,
but if guys,
if you can,
who has been? Have you had experiences with guys in town who have maybe said that and meant it in a way that wasn't so funny?
No, I mean, I just think that you take time to know the person, right? And you understand that besides the manager's job, they're human beings. It's the same thing in any walk of life. You pay attention to the person. You make them feel like they're respected and that their words matter and what they say matters. And you hope that they respect from where you come from. I don't want to ever be the show like it was the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we bring that back because it's interesting. I wanted to bring it back because the great answer that he gave.
Right.
Right?
He did give a good answer.
And then at the end saying, I've had trouble sleeping. I used melatonin.
And he had to do a couple squirts. And
right,
he was that was funny.
He didn't like the idea that I would rip him, you know. You know, he could have gone after me. I don't look so good most of the time out there either. You know?
Well, we were spoiled in this town for a while because we went from Ozzie Guillen to Lou Piniella, who were entertaining, and then the great Joe Madden, who you wanted to be there every day because you never knew what direction he was going to go.
Right.
And those guys were entertaining, and they knew how to engage, and they were charismatic in their own way with their own distinct personalities.
You skipped over Tony La Russa, your favorite.
Well, I think I respect Tony La Russa's accomplishments, but there were times where he was interesting, but other times where he didn't. At this stage of his career when he was in Chicago, I don't think he welcomed that kind of give and take.
He was not the same guy, and he turned out to be sick and couldn't be the same guy. But the feisty Tony La Russa, I always loved that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up and back with him over 30, 35 years where there were times he didn't want to talk to me. He would because he was a pro. But he'd sometimes if he didn't like you, he would sit there and talk to you and not look at you.
Mm-hmm.
That was his way of saying, I'm doing this because I'm a professional.
It's a little passive aggressive.
But I don't like you.
A little passive aggressive.
That's how he treated me. As long as he was always gave a good answer, always responsive, you know, liking me really didn't matter that much.
Well, one other guy in the Yankee clubhouse this week that has been interesting to hear from was former Cub Cody Bellinger, who went to the Yankees in a salary dump of a trade. Cody Petit, I don't even know if he's in baseball, but that was the deal. And the Cubs still really haven't used that money, but that's a different story. And when Cody Bellinger homered the other night on a day with Kyle Schwarber hitting four dingers, and it was a reminder of the two worst decisions the Cubs have made in the last 5 years, that was enough already. But
it's not nice, David.
But Cody Bellinger did have a nice moment with you in the Yankees clubhouse the other day talking about Kyle Tucker, of all things, and also his time as a Cub.
The thing that Tucker's gone through is what I watched you go through the couple of years with the Cubs, and that is if you play and you play hurt and you're not the player that everyone expects, it's a disappointment. If you don't play, there's another name they say, and that is you don't want to play. How does an injured player deal with that mentally, you know, to get over those expectations of other people?
When you're 100% healthy, this game is already so hard. So when you're banged up, you know, broken bones, this game's hard enough. So, you know, ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, no one wants to just sit on the bench. So you go out and get your best shot every day. And, you know, I think for expectations, everyone, they're each way has higher expectations of themselves and the outside noise. So success or failure, we all expect to be great in our own way.
Cody Bellinger on Kyle Tucker. And I think hearing his measured tone, number one, makes me miss Cody Bellinger. But number two, also just reinforces that how what he's saying is to be respected.
Did you miss the 18 homers that he put up last year?
He's got 25 right now.
I understand.
He's got 25 right now.
But he was in the same boat. He had multiple injuries each year with the Cubs, and mm-hmm. he played through it. He played with a broken hand at one point. Okay, so it's been very similar to the experience that Tucker has gone through. And to the credit of both of them, neither one of them has whined. You know, there hasn't been a lot
That's not in their that doesn't seem to be their persona.
No,
neither one of them are whiners.
But the enjoyability of going through that, the stress of the white noise, as he put it, that's real.
I'm glad you also addressed briefly how he felt about his time as a Cub.
I loved every minute of it. Loved the fans, loved the organization, loved Wrigley Field. And once you get past April, city of Chicago is amazing.
Bruce, killing me here. That was my favorite Cub last year. And he's gone. And they got nothing for him.
Cody Petit, 16.88 ERA and 2.2 innings with the Baltimore Orioles, by the way.
Oh, great. Thank you, Sean Sears.
Just brighten things up here for you guys.
I guess it wasn't tenable to have him in the lineup with Kyle Tucker.
$30 million, my friend.
I know. How good would you feel about the Cubs right now if Cody Bellinger was your designated hitter?
And where was... Where's
I know,
Suzuki?
It's a domino effect that probably would have ended up with Michael Busch trying to play third base adequately.
It's probably not a fair question right now.
Probably not.
Because Suzuki, if you ask that question...
I probably not.
If you No, it's a good...
I was having a moment.
No, it's a good question, but is it a fair question? Would you have asked me that question in July when everybody was saying, Suzuki, why isn't he an all-star? Right.
Why isn't he an all-star? And the Cubs got the best offense in baseball. Who needs Cody Bellinger?
He's on his way to winning an RBI title.
That's really something. Yeah. I hope that Cody Bellinger has success in New York because he has been, as you heard there, an easy guy to like. All right, when we come back, we're going to play another segment, another game, Stay or Go, and the focus shifts to the South Side and Luis Robert Jr., who spoke on Friday about his uncertain future. We'll address it next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Who should stay and who should go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
With Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
We're committed to Louis. Yeah, injuries are part of the game. They've unfortunately been part of his history. I think he's played in about 110 games this season. And, you know, he's really risen in terms of the impact on this team and the league. And a lot of that quality work, happened in this second half window. So, for what he's capable of doing, the talent, the impact that he can have on this club, we like having Louis Robert here.
Wait, it's not the off season. Why are we playing Stay or Go? It's August 30th.
Because Louis' season is over.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was Chris Getz talking about Louis Robert Jr. earlier this week when it was announced that basically he's going to miss likely the rest of the season with a hamstring pull, running too hard down to first base. Bruce.
No, likely. He's out.
Okay. So we talked about yesterday, Luis Robert Jr. addressed his uncertainty, and he sounded like somebody resigned to the fate that he might be on the move.
They don't want him. I'll repeat.
Okay.
The White Sox only want him as a chip for the future, okay?
That's a very expensive chip.
That's my opinion. We're open to your opinion, 312-644-6767. David, they didn't get what they wanted to at the trade deadline. He gets hurt again, okay? He's out for a month. He'll played 110 games this year, right? Last year he played 100. Okay, the year before, he was an MVP candidate. The 2 years before that, he was injured as well. What do you have here?
You have a injury-prone player.
Thank you very much. And with that in mind, you are rolling the dice if you pick up that $20 million option.
If you let him go for nothing, Bruce, and you are basically buying him out, yes.
No. Because you have that $20 million potential to put toward other players.
I believe that if you let him go and you buy him out and you don't trade him for an asset, that you have squandered an opportunity. That to me is mismanagement of an asset.
He's an unknown asset at this time.
He's an
injured player, according to David Haugh.
You're using my words against me. How dare you? But you're right. I did say that. He is an injury-prone player. I think they're in a situation, though.
No, he's an injured player.
It's a sunk cost.
He's an injured player that sometimes plays.
They are paying nobody else almost.
Right.
Nobody else.
I love Louis Robert. I love his ability. I love, like A.J. Preller does, like Dave Dombrowski does, like the Mets do. They love the potential of Louis Robert. They do not want to pay $20 million for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
the White Sox would have to pay down that salary.
So if they trade him after picking up, let's lay it out. You have to pick up his option by the day after the World Series.
Yes.
It's $20 million or a $2 million buyout. It's two consecutive years. You have the same thing, $20 million, $2 million buyout for 27 as well. So that, for a star player, that's half the rate going for a star player if you consider him a future star.
So this is what's going to happen. Cubs are going to win the World Series. A day later, the White Sox are going to pick up the option. And a month later, they're going to trade him and pay down $10 million of that salary to get a pitching prospect that's going to be somebody they can count on next year.
Right. Maybe they won't be, maybe it won't be a pitching.
You just glossed over the Cub win the World Series part.
If David Haw.
I heard that part. I was paying attention
to that.
Thank
you, part. Sean.
If David Haw is the general manager, I'm your assistant. I'm imploring you not to pick up the contract.
That's interesting. I think I want to really consider that. I know you feel strongly about it, but I just think
And I love the player. I love the player, but he's not the player that he wants to be. The White Sox want him to be. The White Sox fans want him to be. So what are we doing? Well, we're whistling around the situation that he's exactly what you said he is. He's an injured player.
We got a minute left. We want to weigh in from a Sox fan, Ron, who has a lot of thoughts on Louis Robert Jr. Ron, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Bruce, you can love him from a distance. Look, give him the $2 million and tell him to go away, like the rest of them did. Look here, if you didn't get anything for $15 million, who's going to trade? But the most important thing I told Sean, I couldn't believe it when I read that thing. He said he has had an impact on our team in the league. The league? What has he done as far as impact in the league? You had a caller, Mike, earlier who said the White Sox are overselling their pitching. Chris Getz is overselling this guy. What is he talking about? Now I see why he wasn't able to trade him. I'm just going to tell you, I'm almost ready for the season to be over. I don't want to hear any more ridiculous comments like that. Yeah, maybe he had an impact on the team. You know, because they young players and stuff. Well, when he's playing, but he has impact on the league. Get that out of here. Give him the $2 million. Let him just go away. And Bruce, you said it yesterday. That's going to be a big risk if they take $20 million. Because guess what? They will be stuck with him. You all have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. Great passion.
Ron's the best.
Yeah.
Well, it's well thought out.
I'll take that under consideration when I'm making my decision.
It's well thought out.
As a general manager in waiting.
I just promoted you.
You did. Thank you for the promotion.
Well, I'm hoping to get a job with you.
All right. When you come back, we're going to switch back to the Cubs. Third base coach Quentin Berry will join us right here in Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.